The Lord said more than once in various terms, there am I in the midst of them. You imagine Moses at the burning bush, and there he is, and Moses there at the burning bush, and the Lord says, Moses, here's what I want you to do. I want you as a shepherd to go and lead a multitude, millions of people. And Moses' attitude would have mirrored perhaps our attitude that we should have said, Lord, I'm not qualified. I cannot do it. And the Lord emphasized to him that it wasn't Moses that was doing it. It was he who had the power to turn that rod into a serpent and to turn his hand to leprosy and then turn it back and make it whole. Now imagine when Moses dies. And so Joshua chapter 1 says, after the death of Moses, the Lord comes to Joshua and he says in verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, arise and go over the Jordan. What if you'd been Joshua? You would have thought, I don't know if I can handle this or not. I really don't know that I can handle this. Now look at God's answer to them. In verse 5, he says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life as I was with Moses. So I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. I want to ask you something. Has God changed? Has our eternal God all of a sudden changed? All he said to Moses was, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. I haven't changed, Moses. When Moses is dead, the Lord says to Joshua, don't you understand? You can look at the life of Moses and you can see my presence in the life of Moses. Joshua, that's the way I'm going to be with you. Now, if whatsoever things were written for our learning and they're written there for our example, then the lesson is obvious, is it not? And that is that the Lord wants to be with us. He hasn't changed. His nature has always been the same. Does not the Bible say, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever? And so as we develop this lesson, think about the Lord's statement, I will be with you. Understand, the Lord has always promised that He would be with His people. And there are those verses where the Lord says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Joshua, you go fight the Bible, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. A little bit later in this lesson, we're going to see this very quotation from Hebrews chapter 13, where the Lord applied it to Christians. The Lord has not changed. And so as we read these Old Testament stories, we need to read these stories, and when we run across that expression, that the Lord was with him, or the Lord talked to him, or the Lord went with him. We need to understand that that same God that we read about in the Bible is a living God. He's not a God of yesterday, nor is He a God of tomorrow in the sense that He was one way yesterday and tomorrow He'll be another way and He never can figure out what He's going to be like. Look at how many times in the Bible the statement is used in some form or another to talk about the Lord being with Abraham. Now imagine the task that God gave to Abraham. Abraham, I want you to leave everything. Go to a land that I will show you. And Abraham goes out knowing who's with him. And three times in the book of Genesis, it is implied or affirmed that the Lord was with Abraham. He hasn't changed. And what about the Lord when he was with Jacob? Four times in the life of Jacob, the statement is made or implied that the Lord was with you. Imagine Jacob. Imagine Jacob fleeing for his life because his own brother is ready to kill him. And he's leaving, not even know where he was going to go or how it was all going to turn out. And yet in the midst of all of that, the statement was, the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. What about Joseph down there in the land of Egypt? 17-year-old, every teenager on earth ought to read that and understand that the Lord was with a teenager. And you and I need to understand not only with aged Abraham, but he was with young Joseph down there in the land of Egypt. And four times in the book of Genesis, it is stated or implied the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. You and I need to understand that the God that we serve is a God who is with us. And we've already talked about Moses and about Joshua. But imagine how comforting it was when Joshua, with that whole land, with all of those tribes that are there. And remember, he'd been there in that land 40 years before, and he'd seen the heart of the people melt whenever the false spies came back and said, "We're not able." They lied when he said, "We're not able to take this land." They told the truth when they said there are giants in this land. And now 40 years later, Joshua is ready to lead those same people, at least the next generation, into this land that's filled with giants. How on earth will you ever be able to do the Lord's work? And the Lord says, "Joshua, I've got a message for you." And that message is, "I am with you." Now, if the Lord was with all of those characters in the Bible, then you and I need to understand that the Lord is with Palm Beach Lakes. I want you to believe that with all of your heart. It's not that, well, God used to be around His people, used to help them in whatever they were trying to do, but you and I, in a very, very personal way, needs to believe that if this is a church of Christ, then Christ is here. And if Christ is here, then He's with us. The Lord is with us to help us accomplish His work. When we read these stories, it ought to be, well, that's the way it used to be. I sure am glad God took care of Joseph. And never have the thought, the Lord is with us, and put your name in that sentence. The Lord is with me, put your name in that sentence. And say, the Lord will help me do the work that He's given me to do. And so the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, as you said in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5, "I will not leave you nor forsake you." Hebrews chapter 13 says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor..." Would you claim that as your promise from God? Would you write that on your heart, and as though God were speaking directly to your heart in relationship to His work, would you write on your heart, "I will never leave you nor forsake you"? Now, if you've been a Christian some years, I want you for a moment just to look back in your life and look at those times in your life whenever you were in a situation that seemed hopeless. I want you to look back at that time in your life whenever the task before you seemed so great that you would not ever be able to do it. And yet, the Lord is with you. I've been a missionary, and Chris, can I pick on you for just a minute? I remember what it's like as a young man going to New Zealand, just like you as a young man going down to Paraguay. And here's this whole nation, here's this whole city. How on earth will we ever be able to make any impact? And the answer to that has nothing at all to do with bringing praise and glory and honor to a missionary. It is just simply a living illustration in our midst that when an individual says, "I'm going to do the will of God, this is what God wants to happen, I'm going to do His will," that the Lord said, "And I will never leave you nor forsake you." There for 7.5 years. Not in any of those years did He ever forsake you. I don't know how many months are in 7.5 years, but what, 7 times 12 plus 6? Is that about 90 months? It wasn't a month He wasn't with you. How many weeks in 90 months? I don't know, 4,500. There never was a week that the Lord was not with you. How many days in 4,500 weeks? You do the math. How many minutes in all of those days? And there never was a day that you were there that the Lord was not with you. And child of God at Palm Beach Lakes, I want you to understand, in your life on this earth, if you're a committed Christian, you can count up the minutes, you can count up the seconds, you can count up the hours, you can count up the weeks and the months and the years, and His promise is, "And I will never leave you nor forsake you." And we've got to understand and appreciate that. The Lord is with us in the midst of our trials, is He not? You know this verse. "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me." Have you not in your life been in that valley with some loved one of yours? Have you not stood beside the bed of some classmate, or stood beside the bed of some child or some brother or some sister, or perhaps your parents? And there you were in the midst of all of that. Your mate is dying. How on earth will I ever make it through this? And the answer comes back, there I am in the midst of you, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, people will forsake you. 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says, at my first defense, no man stood with me. People let me down. They all forsook me. People let you down. May it not be charged against them, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. How discouraging it might have been whenever Paul looked around and there were others, members of the church, who let God down. There were others who were lukewarm. There were others whose devotion was a wavering kind of devotion. And when the time came for individuals to stand, Paul stood by himself. No, he never stood by himself. No man stood with me. But the Lord stood there. And the Lord strengthened me. And in your walk and in your steadfast service of the Lord and in your devotion to try to get the gospel all around the world, you and I need to understand that if men let us down, that doesn't matter at all. Because He hasn't changed. The Lord is in our midst. Here's another point. We will not belabor it. But whenever we're trying to win a brother, an offended brother, the Bible talks about in Matthew chapter 18, if a brother sins against you, you go try to solve it. You're going alone except the Lord's with you. Take with you one or two witnesses and then remember the Lord is with you. Bring it to the church. Remember the Lord is with you. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. I say if two of you agree on anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Here are two individuals praying about some matter, some conflict between brethren, trying to solve those problems. And the Lord says, for where this is happening, there I am, right in the midst of them. What a motivation this ought to be for every one of us who are children of God to try to set things that are right between us and those who are offended with us. To go and to try to rectify some hard feeling or some harsh word that's been misunderstood, and know that I am not there by myself, but that the Lord is there. And when this thing is prayed about and asked about, the Lord says, I am right there in the midst. What a motivation for our elders. I don't know if I'll be able to talk about our six elders because I've said our five elders for so many years, but what a motivation for all six of our elders to understand that they're there binding and loosing in the name of God. And there they are trying to bring about reconciliation of individuals to God, knowing that the Lord is right in the midst of them in everything that they do. I don't have to remind you, do I, that the Lord is in the midst of our worship. In reference to the Lord's Supper, Matthew chapter 26 says, I will not drink of this cup, this fruit of the vine, until that time I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. I think about those disciples in that upper room. And I think of they as they were there and they were passing that bread from hand to hand. There was somebody sitting right beside Jesus. And Jesus with His own hands handed them the bread. Jesus with His own hand handed them the cup. And then just a couple of months later, there those same disciples sit in worship. And it's not Jesus sitting there beside them, but it's Jesus' brother or it's Jesus' sister. And it's not the hands of Jesus, but it's the hands of the brother of Jesus, the hands of the sister of Jesus that passes that bread. And then there is that realization, just as I was in that upper room with the Lord, I am now with the Lord, for the Lord is right here in our worship. He's in our midst. And as that Hubble telescope looks farther and farther out into space and we learn of this ever-expanding universe and how massively huge it is, may we never lose sight of the fact that God has not moved one iota from where He was in the beginning. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I love the next verse, Hebrews chapter 2, where the statement is, both he who sanctifies and they who are sanctified, the one who is sanctified, who sanctifies is the Lord, and those who are sanctified is us, we're one, for which cause he, the Lord, is not ashamed to call us brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church. And as we sing today, these unbelievably spiritual songs, the Lord was in our midst because that's exactly where he said he would be. Think about the matter of soul winning. And think about that great commission that was given to the apostles of going into all the world. But before he ever left, sending them into all the world, he said to them in John 14, verse 1 through 3, I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going away. But he says to them in that same chapter, I will not leave you like an orphan. I will come to you. And so here's Peter and John. The church has begun and they're brought before the council. And there they stand being commanded by the officials, don't you preach at all. Don't you say anything in the name of Jesus. They're not orphans when they're standing there. I will not treat you like an abandoned child. You're my brothers, you're my sisters, you're children of God. I will not leave you homeless. I will not leave you as an orphan. I will come to you. And they stood there with the might of God working through them because the Lord said, I'm there in your midst. But surely we see the application. In our own lives, the Lord is in our midst. Jesus came in Matthew chapter 28 and spoke to the apostles saying, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. And he who has all authority in heaven and in earth says, you go, you teach, you baptize. And then he says, and lo, I am with you always. You think he's changed? You think on the day of Pentecost there the Lord was with them as the church began? When they had that gospel meeting up in Samaria and the whole city is abuzz about this man that's come there talking about Jesus Christ and the Lord was obviously with him there? Do you think the Lord changed? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when it comes to this matter of soul winning, we need to let our prayer be the words of that song. Lead me to some soul today. Oh, teach me, Lord, just what to say. And whenever you think about inviting somebody to a gospel meeting or trying to talk to them about the Lord, and you say, I just don't know what to say, you need to think about this song. But you need to remember the first man in the Bible who said, I just don't know what to say. He was standing beside a burning bush. And when the Lord said, you go down to pagan Egypt and you go before that king. And to paraphrase what he said, I just don't know what to say. And God said to Moses, who made your mouth, Moses? And that child of God, when we try to excuse ourselves, need to understand and hear the words of God, who made you? And think of how well equipped you are with the education that you have and the knowledge you have of the Bible. Far more than those early Christians. Lead me to some soul today. Teach me, Lord, just what to say. They're lost in sin. They cannot find their ways. May we use the words of Isaiah and apply them to our lives. When the Lord said, whom shall I send? And Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. May we as the church of Jesus Christ say, here am I, Lord, use me. And so the Lord is in our midst, especially during this gospel meeting. I want to appeal to you from the depths of my heart, with every fiber of my being. What if this were the last gospel meeting you'd ever have a chance to invite people to? What if you knew that when this gospel meeting is over, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is going to come? What if you knew that person that is on that name, on that card whose name you've written down? What if you knew that person was going to have a heart attack? What if this were the last gospel meeting there'd ever be? And I say that to emphasize the urgency of what lies before us. You see, the Lord will be attending our gospel meeting. There am I in the midst of you. And not just some service, you know, on a Sunday morning, but on that Sunday afternoon service and those daytime services and those weeknight services. The Lord's going to be here. Whenever we're singing and fervently trying to appeal to that individual to think about their life and singing, oh, why not tonight? Tomorrow's sun may never rise. I want you to know the Lord will be in our midst singing all of those words of all of those songs. Sad, sad that bitter well. Almost but lost. And the Lord will be singing that song. And because of that, not to put any individual on some guilt trip about, well, I just have to do this. Where else would you want to be than to see some soul clasp and drug away from the clasp of Satan and united with the Lord by being baptized into Him? The Lord will be here to witness that. That's the seriousness of the task that lies before us. And we ought not to come to church because we have to come to church. Well, I have to go to the gospel meeting. No. I get to be with the Lord in the midst of His people, reaching out to reach others. May God help these words to sober us up about the great opportunities that are ours. The Lord will be with us. The question is, will you be with Him? Let's pray. God, we fervently with one heart and one soul, Your people in this place, lift up our gospel meeting and lift up the lost souls and the names that are on the hearts of our members. And we pray for salvation, and that we can witness the salvation of more souls, that America may be spared. In Jesus' name, amen. We now sing that song of invitation to help individuals who are not with the Lord decide to become one with the Lord. It's not that hard. Just read the Bible. They believed in the Lord. John 3:16 says, whoever does this should not perish. But they didn't just believe in Him. They changed their lives. They made up their mind. I'm going to be serious about this devotion. I'm going to repent. I'm going to turn it around. And Acts chapter 17, verse 30 says, God now commands all men everywhere to repent. And then when they've confessed their faith in Jesus, Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, they can be baptized into Christ, into a relationship with Christ, baptized for the remission of their sins, washed in His blood, and the Lord adds them to the church. And then He says to those of us who've done this, you be faithful. Where are you right now? Is there some way this church can help you in your walk with the Lord? If so, won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now?